happens now.
Capital 264. Politics and Beyond on Capital 263. My name is Christopher Farai Charamba.
My name is Upenyu Makoni Matenga.
And I'm Tawanda Henry Beatty. And yes, welcome to the best political podcast in the country, the continent, the multiverse. Even in Asgard, it's the best political podcast. Even in Wakanda.
Even in Gotham.
Exactly.
Hey, you guys been watching too much TV over the past week, huh?
Yeah, no, we do. My papa and usual, because our politics has been so absurd.
Our politics is more mapopai than actual.
Our politics more humbwish.
It's a soap opera. It's not even Game of Thrones anymore. It's like Days of Our Lives.
You know those telenovelas. Those, yeah.
Never ending.
Yeah.
My heart bleeds for ED.
No, it doesn't.
No.
Those are crocodile tears.
But that could be the title of the telenovela. My heart bleeds for ED.
Mm. Wow. Or the crocodile is a gecko.
In any angu, I'm still in mourning.
What? Oh, yeah.
Lacoste members, we are not pleased.
But I hear the fight isn't over for you guys.
Allegedly. But you see, the thing is, let me tell you what happens. Okay, first and foremost, before we kick off, today is Saturday, 11th of November. And by the way, wow, you guys were butchering names last week, huh?
We needed you so badly, Chris, because you keep us in line. Oh, my God. I was like, you know what? It's fine. You can be second secretary now.
At least now that ED is no longer there, Henry doesn't have to say Mnangagwa as much anymore.
Yeah, no, I don't.
Yeah. I'm not even going to attempt Vice President Mpoko's first name.
Yeah. The worst thing is you corrected me and you were wrong as well in your corrections.
No, and I did it with such confidence. Can I just please apologize to everybody whose name I butchered?
I'm just going to call him Mpoko. That's intentional. Wow.
But yeah, cool. No, so as I was saying, that with regards to ED, as we all know, he's been sacked. And he has fled the country. Don't know where he is. There was a very interesting report in the Independent that was that said, you know, he tried to get a flight, and then the guys he was trying to book the flight from refused with their private jet. So then he had to go to the border, and it was one of those
Forbes border post.
Forbes border post. In Mutare, and there was something there. There was almost the. Well, his security team sort of had a fight with the police there, and then he managed to get across, and then he flew from there to South Africa. So, you know, this whole thing. But as far as I know, judging from what happened with Mujuru, is once you're out, all your allies will abandon you. They'll all line up at the Blue Roof, and they'll beg for clemency, and they'll say they were wrong. They were led astray by the traitor ED. They'll never repeat their mistakes. So I think you'll get support from the guys that are out already, the Mchangwas of this world who have already, you know, declared support there. But he's definitely going to lose a lot of his base that's on the inside, or guys who were Lacoste on the inside, aside from the guys who are obviously going to get thrown out with him. So yeah, I'm not entirely optimistic about his future.
Speaking of Mchangwa, didn't he fire the president this week? Which I think
was it Mchangwa?
You know, when huh?
Was it Mchangwa's war veterans that fired the president?
Yeah. Well, I think we looked up and then we were like, never mind.
Firing him from being patron of the war veterans, though.
All right.
I mean, it's very... Or maybe it was firing him from... I don't know. From ZANU-PF? I'm not too... too certain. I didn't pay too much attention to it because, again, he's making a statement from South Africa. Mtsangwa, I mean, yes, dear leader of the war veterans, but really, I don't. He doesn't have a strong enough base to topple Mugabe. So,
yeah, you know, the news cycle in the last 7 days has been crazy. So, and you know, I went from despair to, you know what, let's just burn it all to the ground.
You went through the seven stages of grief.
I did, and it was exhausting. I've only just come back today, hey. Because Saturday, Sunday, Monday, I thought to myself, if somebody's recruiting, I'm available. yeah, so I'm back. Everybody needs to register to vote. That's where I'm living. Everybody needs to register to vote. Anyone who is eligible to run for council, for MP, for milkman, just put your name forward, because it has to be better than this. It just has to be.
Ah, you finally registered, aren't you?
Yes, I did. Are you proud of me?
I am very much so. And it's interesting to see your full name. Government.
The full government name.
My government name. I'm taking the F with me to my grave. Those of you who know what that F stands for, say nothing on pain of death.
I'm going to do some investigating and make sure that I find
we'll
out.
We'll figure it out.
We'll get there eventually.
You know, the thing is, if you decide to run for any political office, it'll just be public record.
That's the thing that's holding me back, to be honest.
Wow. So you're actually going to do it? Or considering? Are you closer?
Okay, so backstory. Chris is masterminding having all the bone freeze in office across the board. Council, ZANU-PF, MDC, everywhere. I'm thinking about it still, because, as you know, when you're in politics, or when you decide to enter politics, it's not just you, it's everybody who you come with. So, and I grew up in politics, so it's not an easy road. And I really admire the people who have declared their candidacy, because it's very brave and it's very strong. And I really hope that they're aware of, because even when you're in office, it's not easy. It's a very difficult task. So I'm still thinking about it. How about that?
Yeah, no, that's fine. My idea is that as much as parliament is important, I think one of the spaces that has been neglected in conversation is councils, and a lot of the things that are day to day. So, for example, refuse collection is a council issue, not a parliament issue. Although, I mean, there's especially as we're moving towards, or where cities are modernizing. We definitely need a lot of young people in council. We need people who understand or have a vision larger than, you know, 60, 70-year-old people sitting in council. So if you're interested, please do, you know, think about it. This goes for Openu. This goes for anyone else listening. Think about running for council as well. We will share some of the requirements, I think, very soon on what it is. One of the things is you just need to be 21, anyone from the above the age of 21, and you need to be registered to vote in that council area. So first things first, register to vote. Make sure that you are eligible. And then, yeah, please take a serious look at it. It's not just Harare, Gweru, Bulawayo, Mutare, Chinoy, all of these places have town councils or city councils, even your rural district council, as far as I'm concerned. So do give it a huge thought.
Yeah, and don't do it because you think you're going to be rich. It seems to me that that's been the motivation for the young people who are currently present. Tongesem Dambo, I'm looking at you in council and parliament. And that's not, I mean, it's civil, it's public.
Wow, that
service.
Was a call out.
Yes, I'm calling him out because he's a useless rubbish MP and he needs to go.
Wow.
For anyone who's not familiar, Tongisa Mdambo is the MP for my constituency, Harare North. So I'm putting him on notice because I'm actively campaigning to remove him. Sorry?
Ane Rasta.
Anfungot Ane Rasta. He seems like he's a clean-shaven guy. Ane Rasta. Because what I've seen so far, he looks clean-shaven.
Okay.
Are you checking?
No, no, I'm not concerned.
But he's a useless, because until the elections came up, I didn't even know he was my MP. I've been reading the Hansards. This guy has not put up his hand once in Parliament. And yes, granted, Themba Mliswa likes to talk a lot. But, you know, say something, do something. Show up and tell me that you're my MP.
Yes, you know, Anne Rasta.
Oh.
Yeah.
Answering the important questions there, Chris.
I just went in.
People are going to think we're anti-Rasta on this. We're going to lose the German constituency panapa.
For the record, I strongly support Munyaladzi Kwisai.
Okay.
Anyway,
yeah. So, but, you know, I think it's citizen action, because if I'm directly affected by your lack of conviction and your poor judgment in Parliament, then I'm coming for you and I'm coming for that guy. We need to find a better... See, this is why I was asking Rusty Markham to run for MP, because I think he's been a great councillor for my area. And if he's not considering running for council this year, he should definitely be in Parliament. So... Yeah, we'll
but
see.
I'm not going to grow in politics MDC.
How?
Just isn't Harare North is Teresa Makone's. She's the one who was the last MP candidate there. And she's one of Tsvangirai's main financiers. Her and Ian Makone. Mm-hmm. Ian Makone is famous for being the one whose company owns Harvest House.
Harvest House, where MDC was thrown out.
No, they stay in the building.
They weren't thrown out. They were just attached by the sheriff.
Files at MDC. This is not what we're talking about, guys.
Yeah, no, it's not. It's not.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, we didn't.
No, it was in the interest of time. It had nothing to do with MDC. It was just interest of time. Let's move on.
Yeah. Moving on. The new Minister of Finance had a pre-budget seminar in Victoria Falls.
Elephant Hills in Victoria Falls.
Elephant Hills, Victoria Falls. The theme was setting the tone, revenue targets, collection, and performance of the 2017 national budget and key assumptions for 2018. So this is... The budget is when? December?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so this is just before that. They had a bit of a seminar. They got together, had a chit-chat. He presented, and yeah, we're going to go through some of the things that he presented. Yeah, you guys had something to say on this before we...
Henry, do you want to go first?
I mean, he said it right, setting the tone. I don't think Chinamasa ever had a pre-budget seminar at Elephant's Hills. So at least Chombo has set the tone for his finance ministry. Because bear in mind, every secretary, every staffer, every member of his ministry that went to Elephant Hills was paid per diem, was given a fuel allowance, was given a housing allowance, was given accommodation. Every MP that went was given the same thing. Every minister that went was given the same thing. Yeah. So he set the tone.
I want to start at Chombo's educational background and therefore ability to do this job. He graduated from Kutama Teachers College, my God, butchering, in 1970. He has a PhD in adult education and a PhD in higher education, both from the United States. We won't go into people from America. But I don't believe an educationist is the best placed to steer an economy that is in crisis out of said crisis. I do not think that he is qualified for this job. We're not going to talk about all of the other, you know, stories about Chombo and City of Harare and so forth. I honestly don't believe that he's qualified. And this call to have the pre-budget seminar in Vic Falls is just, you know, it's the beginning of a huge iceberg where it's going to be bad call after bad call after bad call. And the hole is just getting deeper and deeper. And I'm not happy at all that Chombo is our Minister of Finance.
And we shall substantiate those calls by going through his macroeconomic and fiscal policy for 2018 and tell you where he's going wrong.
I mean, it starts interestingly in the introduction. He says the thrust of the 2018 national budget will be on measures centered around fiscal consolidation, addressing market indiscipline, stimulating productivity, and expanding the revenue base. I'd just like to point out, Honorable Dr. Ignatius Chombo, Minister of Finance, that it's quite indisciplined, fiscally indisciplined, to be hosting budget seminars in Elephant Hills when we really don't have the resources. So a bit of irony there, just in the introduction, it gets a lot more interesting.
As we go in.
Shall we talk about the deficit?
Yeah, sure.
Which will grow to $1.82 billion this year, and it was initially projected to be $400 million. And, you know, I saw the presentation that he gave. It glosses over. It doesn't, you know, because the big things for us are government expenditure is uncontrolled. It's ridiculous in some cases. And how do you buy, what was it, 226 cars for chiefs?
Yeah.
Who I believe got new cars not even 2 years ago. And a president who I hear travels with $3 million worth of cash, cold hard US dollar cash, every time he leaves the country, not to mention an entourage of 70 people.
Often 70 people. I think it was to the UN that they went to 70 deep. I think usually his entourage is comma 20, depending on where he's.
So we've lost Upenyu, but her electricity is gone.
Thank you, Mr. Mugabe, Zimbabwe.
Yeah, they should rename this after him. Auntie, they renamed the airport after him, so...
Yeah, because he's always falling asleep. It's like my kids, I know more than our food. And if I had money, I would only be flying through Blue Air. I would never fly through that Harare airport again. In fact, I'm going to just keep calling it Harare airport.
I mean, listen, Fourth Street changed its name to Simon Muzenda, but it's everyone still calls it Fourth Street.
it's always been called airport. No one ever used to say Harare airport.
Exactly. So some of these things, it's you know.
Yeah,
it's neither here nor there.
Yeah, digress.
So Upenyu was talking about the budget deficit, and it says this that the budget deficit, as she mentioned, for the full year raised from 400 million to 1.82 billion, mainly financed through treasury bills and recourse to overdraft at the RBZ. We've spoken about treasury bills and how they are what has led us to this cash crisis that we are currently in.
I think we must just reemphasize that treasury bills are the government printing money. There's no simpler way to put it. Treasury bills are the government writing on a piece of paper saying this is $100 million going to your bank and saying, hold this piece of paper and give me $100 million. It's printing money at the end of the day.
So essentially, they have printed over $1 billion in treasury bills, if I am to understand this clearly, which is massive. It's huge, and it doesn't look like it's stopping anytime soon. You know, bond notes are essentially treasury bills for the public, because after they raided the banks, they wanted whatever was left that was circulating in the economy. So they have anticipated a 3% growth next year, but it really doesn't look like, I mean, the outlook doesn't look encouraging. For anything, their revenues projected for 2018 are $4 billion. But again, as long as their wage bill is as high as it is, and of course with Minister Chombo, we're definitely getting bonuses for civil servants at the end of the year, and it doesn't look like there will be any cuts happening. We aren't going to get any sort of stimulation, I don't think, in the economy.
No, we're not. And there's some things that must be noted in terms of growth. Some of these growth figures, even independent of the economists and the IMF, have agreed, Kuti, we've actually seen growth in 2015, 2016, or this last financial year. But people need to realize that it's due to one-off factors that aren't sustainable. A higher than normal rainfall resulting in a growth in agriculture, extraordinarily higher commodity prices that we benefited from those windfall. This is not the type of growth that as an economy you want or you're looking for. This is mawano factors. So predicting next year to be growing at the same speed as the last quarter of this year, I don't understand. I'm not an economist. I don't even have a PhD from any fake or real university. I just don't understand how the Minister of Finance can suggest this as a realistic figure.
Yeah, so the projected, as you mentioned, growth assumptions, the projected growth is premised on the following assumptions: normal rainfall patterns, scaled up funding for agriculture, improvements in commodity prices, reliable supply of utilities, mainly electricity and water, improved investment inflows benefiting from the ease of doing business reforms, and implementation of special economic zones, among other factors. So first and foremost, relying on normal rainfall patterns, I mean, that's simply an act of God. So if we don't get that, then, you know, that's already GDP growth injured. Scaled up funding for agriculture, with where the cash situation is, and the fact that people are having to pay different prices for different commodities. You know, if you're paying in US dollar cash, you pay less. If you're paying in bond notes, you pay a different price. If you're paying RTGS, you pay a different price. It's going to affect the production, agricultural production, because of people, of how much inputs people will be able to buy based on whether they have cash or not. Simply that. So we're definitely going to see our agriculture being affected, and because prices are going to affect production, prices of products, commodity prices are going to be affected. And I think it was this past week where they said that there are certain goods that will now be that monitored.
They said they've been put on price monitored and controlled.
Yeah, price monitored and controlled. I just thought of this now. Let me see if I can. But it's things like sugar and cooking oil and maize meal and stuff
and
like
fuel.
That. And price controls, I don't think, you know, it's definitely just going to lead to another black market situation where it's not going to be profitable for people to stock certain things because really you're running a loss. The importing some of these things which are imported or them will be too high, so they're just at the end of the day going to stop shelving them and people have to find them on the black market. Reliable supply of utilities, well, I mean, we can already see from OpenU that clearly it's not happening. From losing OpenU, it's not happening. Improved investment inflows benefiting from the ease of doing business. I would be very grateful if there was actual ease of doing business happening, but I haven't seen any reforms, and I'm happy for anyone to challenge me on this and actually provide information, but I haven't seen anything that is signaling, you know, a great improvement where we can actually point to and say, well, yes, FDI is going to start flowing in, especially as well with the fact that our political climate is so uncertain right now. As much as they might want to, you know, make it seem that it's, you know, there really is one center of power, you can't be so certain that, you know, the environment is improved for there to be inflows. Implementation of special economic zones, the last thing we heard about that was Dr. Gideon Gono was appointed to head that that project, and we've all seen what happened under his directorship of the Reserve Bank. So I don't think that there is anything so exciting or for one to be optimistic about in that area.
No.
You know, special economic zones certainly can work. They've worked in other countries. But again, it goes back to implementation. It's not so much what the policy is on paper, but how such policies are implemented.
And they work in tandem with the whole economy. They can't work by themselves. They themselves aren't anathema to an economic situation. They have to work with economic improvements everywhere else and as the economy as a whole. They can't just be, oh, we've got special economic zones in Jafai.
Yeah, that's basically it. So, I mean, 2018, just from this, doesn't seem to be too exciting. Some of the things here that he speaks about in terms of fiscal discipline is reducing debt to GDP ratio, government debt, limiting government borrowing from the Reserve Bank, which is a good thing. Certainly, if they can
but
do that.
But they've been saying this, then, guy, and doing the opposite.
Yeah, of course, of course. Development budget, increasing spending on infrastructure. These are all things that need to happen. I completely agree. And as he rightly put, fiscal anchors, they will definitely improve our situation. But it's whether or not, you know, our government will actually respond and actually do these things. As far as I'm concerned, as we pointed out, the deficit has grown. Some of the things, that their assumptions are not, you know, they are assumptions, but they are not...
They're not based in reality.
I'm not optimistic about some of their assumptions. Besides the rain, actually, I think that's
the normal rainfall.
That's the one that's a lot more predictable
than anything. For me, like all this, we've heard before, from a much more reliable source. And you know, they say, you know, you miss your water when the well run dry. And today I'll honestly admit, Kuti, low key, I'm missing Patrick Chinamasa. And, I don't regret everything I said about him. It's still always true. He still was a fairly useless, but he was less useless than this man we have. And let me tell you, for me, the biggest thing that was missing from this, because this was a presentation to legislators and they're meant to then give inputs on the actual budget, there's an election next year and that will cost into the tens of millions, if not hundreds of millions dollars to do properly. There wasn't a mention of that at all. Where are they going to find the money? If you cast your mind back to 2013, Kutsaga Marie election became a big full-time story. And you'd think Kutko, at some point, especially seeing Zbachinengua, they should really be thinking about Kuti, what, where are they going to find this money? And it's one of those things that certainly should be spoken about, especially with inputs from the members of parliament. That for me, another thing, health, I didn't see any mention on what, where the particular expenditure or singling out things like health and education. So I don't know. It just seemed...
It was very light and very just, you know, on the surface.
If you look at the presentation, it looks like my grade, my Form 4 accounting presentation. No, seriously.
I mean,
like, it's not...
It doesn't go into detail on a lot of things, and maybe there was a document. This is a PowerPoint presentation, so maybe, you know, he just didn't stand there and read off the whiteboard, so to speak.
Oh no, I mean the accompanying document, isn't
but, you
it?
You know, some of the other interesting things that I noted, this is continuing from the previous finance minister, is, you know, things like re-engagement with the continuing engagement with the World Bank and the African Development Bank in view of clearing arrears and trying to, you know, unlock new financing. And this is something that the new Foreign Affairs Minister Mzembe, also mentioned, you know, that they need to re-engage relations with the United Kingdom and the United States, and that economic diplomacy is something that he's going to be focused on, you know, and refocusing on the 2015 Lima process in terms of debt repayment. Ironically, these are some of the things that Minister Chinamasa was really focused on and tried to get going.
But Lima collapsed at the end of this. Lima collapsed this year.
Pardon?
Lima collapsed. They failed.
Oh, yeah, but I mean, what's his Mzembe? I'm just quoting here. It says, as we seek new economic relations, we will focus on the 2015 Lima process on our debt payment plan. I'm confident that together we can revive that process. We will honor bilateral economic agreements we entered into with our valued partners, including the bilateral investment promotion and protection agreement. Where we have discomforts, we are prepared, which will not prejudice either party. But what my thing is, it's very ironic that a lot of these things that, you know, Minister Mzembe, these are things that Minister Chinamasa tried to do, and he got a lot of stick from it, from various political corridors, people accusing him of, you know, being a Lacoste agenda, and issues of him trying to support, be cozy with the West, so to speak. And yet, you know, now this seems to be the area that...
But both can be true, Chris.
That's true.
Both can be true. He could have been pushing it on with his own agenda, and these guys pushing it with their own agenda. But I think the realization at the end of the day is that Mr. Mugabe needs the West.
No, yeah, I mean, look, without investment, we're actually not going anywhere. Another thing from the budget was revenue enhancing measures. So they do intend to increase revenue, widening the tax base to include most of the unregistered, the informal sector. So they are coming for the informal sector. There will be measures to make sure that they are taxed, which is, I mean, I completely understand that there's a lot of money in a total value in the informal sector. But I really want to understand how these measures will be implemented. And I'm pretty certain that these measures are going to affect so many people who really just make ends meet through the work that they do in the informal sector.
Yeah, no. It's going to be what you imagine it being. Municipal police chasing around Mavenda for them to pay their taxes. So, with taxing the informal sector, I think it's a noble idea, and I'm not completely against revenue collection, but you'd have a bigger tax base if people were working, if the informal sector would become formalized in some form, charge for licenses or just find some other way to do it. But you can't squeeze water out of a rock, and that's what they're trying to do at the end of the day. But yeah, I hope for his sake, Kuti, he can pull some sort of miracle. Kuti, maybe panema venda anema mabidza muma metrisao, and he can.
And one of the other things in terms of discipline, they mentioned dealing with profiteering, rent-seeking, creation of artificial shortages, unwarranted price hikes, among others. And then this one for me was the most ironic, fostering a strong sense of discipline across all institutions and a zero tolerance.
From Mr. Chombo. I'm sure. From Cisco.
I'm sure
Cisco,
the entire
Cisco
room
is so corrupt. He's even Papa Anuzofa Pepe Lord. Hopefully, not anytime soon because he gives me joy. I think I don't need Diri the coffin rack.
I'm sure the entire room in the Elephant Hills. Must have chuckled on the inside when that was mentioned.
Corruption.
But yeah, that's what we're looking forward to in the budget. As soon as it's out, we'll probably
we have a special budget episode with maybe Chris Chinga. Hopefully, if he can join us,
yeah, someone who can unpack it further.
Yeah. So some quick highlights from the week. They freed Martha. Our Martha was granted bail and has to report to the police.
America Shamari. This podcast is a wholly Zimbabwean product. Let us just put this out there.
Because you're not on Twitter. Because you're not on Twitter. You've committed crimes on Twitter as well. If we go back to your previous tweets. I don't know what Professor Moyoi is Robin Hood here on Twitter.
He said it himself. I was just re-quoting.
So you can get arrested for a retweet. You can also get for a quote.
But the crime here was insulting the president, or undermining the authority of the president.
How far are they going to stretch this undermining the president? Because it already stretches to Grace. So maybe soon it will be stretching to Jonathan. My Nini Johnson.
Oh, God, look, how many people will be arrested for insulting the shape of his head? That wouldn't be, if it extends to Johnson, we would not be free citizens.
That's the new runway for Harare International.
Wow. Manzaya okay, Johnson. We're not yet making jokes about Professor Jonathan Moyo. But yeah, so Martha was given bail. I believe $1,000 bail. She has to report to the police every Monday and Friday. She has to surrender her passport. She'll be back on the 15th of November back in court to answer to those charges of of subverting a constitutional government and undermining the authority of the president. I think we should change those charges to the activist charges or something like that.
The Pastor E charge.
Yeah, but
no, he deserves it. He genuinely, because he hasn't been charged three times with that.
Possibly, actually, yeah. So, yeah, we can call it the Evan Maware charge, just so that you know what we're talking about instead of having to go through the full thing. And someone else, or a couple of people actually arrested on the undermining the authority of the president one, are, I think there are four people from either Blawayo or Kwekwe, but they were alleged to be the ones booing the first lady so there was a witch hunt for these people. And
was the witch herself hunting them?
Wow. But they were arrested. Just for those who don't know, at the Blawayo rally, the first lady was booed by some people when she was speaking, and she said, you can boo me. And then they were alleged to be hired by Mnangagwa. It's one of the reasons why he was eventually sacked. They've arrested some people, and they've been charged with undermining the authority of the president or insulting the president, which...
there was a manhunt for...
By all intents and purposes, should be a very easy case.
No, they were given bail, Ipapo. I think even the courts realized, Kuti, they're doing this for her ego. I mean, first of all, she's not the president.
That's it. That's all I say. I get to court and I say, Your Honor, my clients or the accused is innocent because she's not the president.
And the thing is, it's the office of the president. So
the president, yes.
You can't even say Kuti, because it's his wife, he's offended. No, it's not about him as a person. It's about the actual office of the president, not so much about him as an individual. So, you know, even those FU charges and those things, I can say Robert Mugabe Iduji, as long as I'm not saying the president of the country or the office of the president is useless because Robert is what? Iduji, if you understand what I'm saying. If you can draw that distinction.
I mean, putting out a disclaimer, that was all
it was a joke. It was a joke. It was humor.
Words and
jokes.
If they do pick you up, in your defense, you can say Junior, maybe. I don't know. You've been given a bit of a lifeline there. But
say Junior.
Yeah, so that's what
Chatunga.
No, Robert Junior Gatino.
Oh yeah, no, but he's a good guy.
Yeah,
not so much his father.
He was with his brother, washing their hands with champagne, and Chatunga was flossing a $60,000 watch on Instagram.
That's their mother's side. That's their mother's side. When they're being on their father's side,
there's a lot of people who might say they are not good guys, but you know,
no, it was a joke.
So, yeah, those are some of the things that have been happening this week. I don't know if there's anything else to add on your side.
Morgan gave an interview by phone to the SABC, and he sounded alive. So that was something.
Yes, he was alive.
And AC also gave a number of interviews in South Africa there on the Mnangagwa situation. Don't correct me.
Okay.
And yeah, no.
Just say Edisha.
Asha. I do. We've now wasted 5 minutes on it. His interviews were a bit, I mean, self-serving, but he genuinely did give an honest representation of the things that are going on in Zim, in terms of the actual facts of the matter. In terms of the future, I don't think Emerson is going to be doing anything from outside the country. I don't think there's going to be some coup or some triumphant return into the country or some exciting thing is going to happen. I think, yeah, Ngumandiyo Ndiyo, 2018, Tsvangirai v. Mugabe, v. Moyo, v. Manyika. And I think that's about it. I'm a juror, I suppose.
Guys, please. But auntie, well, I don't know. I saw that Mujuru Harare East one. I'm not sure how true that is. Guys, please. Would them stand for? We're at 2 million.
Yeah, no.
Registered voters, just about. So I think we can reach 5 million.
Yeah, 5 million is the magic number, guys. If we can reach 5 million, there's something to fight for. I think 5 million registered voters are not going to go outside our boys. But anything below that, it becomes very difficult. So yeah, everyone go register to vote. The Blitz is still on for another few weeks. And yeah, after that, so, it just goes to regular registration centers.
One or two again. Centers, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, but that's it from me.
That's it for me. And
thanks for listening. Please do like our Facebook page, Politics and Beyond. Follow us on Twitter, Poly and Beyond ZW. And, you know, share this podcast with your friends. Share it on your social media. Do hit us up with any comments, anything you'd like to, you know, consider. If you have any thoughts on this pre-budget seminar or any thoughts on the economy in general, do get in touch. We would like to, you know, share some of your viewpoints as well. You can follow me on all social media at Chris Charamba. And that's it from my side.
And yeah, you can follow me on all social media at Henry Beattie. And register to vote, guys. And bye.